Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If I upload this, are people going to watch this? Are people going to see this thing that I, you know, put my heart, soul, and my balls into? I didn't go to film school. I literally just picked up, started with iMovie and then Final Cut and eventually Premiere. And, you know, just through making my own stuff, like, yeah, like I was able to get a job doing it.
It's highly likely that, like, the thing that you really want to make is not the thing that a lot of people value. It's like Justin Timberlake's financial advisor was like, do you want to invest in the Hindenburg or MySpace? Those are your options.
Kevin, how do we transition from this into retro gaming?
I don't want to. Is that possible? Let's stay here. Let's stay here forever. Let's never transition again.
I've never had one of my songs in that kind of format where it's read like very Ben Shapiro, wet-ass P-word style. So I definitely appreciate that.
Welcome to The Create Unknown, where we talk about making something and meaning something. I am Kevin Lieber. With me, as always, is Matthew Tabor, who's going to crack open a can of worms. I don't know what species, but some style of worm, all about our guest.
Yeah, this is a worm episode, I suppose. Yeah, dope.
Am I the worm?
You're the worm. You're inside the can. Okay. You've been in that can. Since almost 2 years now. Why it's taken so long to get you on here is one of life's mysteries, but it really has taken forever, and we've had you on a list and heavily requested for a long time. Everybody wants the Doplex. Now they have the Doplex.
That makes me feel so special.
Yeah, well, the intro to Doplex is as follows. He's really one of, if not the most talented YouTuber you may not have heard of. Doplex on his YouTube channel has a really distinct retro aesthetic with a really smooth flow on the content and irreverent humor, which maybe sometimes doesn't play well with the algorithm, who knows, and makes videos about things like 1980s sex education videos or Belle Delphine or old video games, or there's a fetish wrestling one in there, if I remember right.
Oh, that's a deep cut, yeah.
Yeah, and the latest, that's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure style video, really brought something unique to the platform. And recently started working on Rooster Teeth's Inside Gaming with hosting videos like a detailed examination of sound in video games. That's a pretty good 10-minute video, especially, or even for somebody like me who doesn't play as as many video games at all. It's really interesting stuff. He's got a co-host named Naked Man. If you're watching live right now, Naked Man is on my shirt. Well, he makes excellent music too. Doplex does. Oh, and we'll actually examine some of that a little bit later. But the really cool thing is that Doplex is kind of the YouTuber's YouTuber. And the veteran YouTubers, huge ones, absolutely love his stuff. And the hype for a new Doplex video in group chats, in DMs, right before it's coming out, is probably rivaled only by a new Nerd City drop. Everybody talks about it. Everybody's excited about it. So we'll probably go more into this a bit later, but let's start it off with Doplex. It's 2020. Wow. Why don't you have 1 million subscribers on YouTube when everybody loves you?
Well, I mean, first off, I want to say thank you for that really sweet intro. Thank you, Matt, though. It's a lot of kind words, a lot of very sweet words, making me feel all warm and fuzzy. Why don't I have a million subs? Man, well, for one, I'm not very consistent, obviously. You know, I'm just right off the bat. You know, I could go on blaming the algorithm, which is probably part of the reason. But I mean, for the most part, you know, I just sometimes, you know, it's hard to get something out there, man. But I feel like eventually I'll you know, make the time to actually create stuff and not have my videos be so few and far between. But yeah,
The level of respect really is tremendous, though. I'm not just making that up when I say that people get truly excited when you pop a thing up on Twitter that shows a little detail about what you're working on. You're really good about doing that on the Patreon as well, so that those people know roughly what's coming. But yeah, the hype builds. And it's kind of funny to see so many other people try to build hype for their projects. And like, everybody just scrolls through Twitter. Like, nobody, it's like, cool. Why don't you let me know when you actually drop the video, you know?
Right.
But the hype works for you. Why does it work for you?
I mean, that could also play into the fact that I barely upload, you know, because I mean, for the longest time, obviously, you know, like people like JonTron has kind of always been my biggest influences. And I like how he can just like disappear for a bit and then come back and everybody's like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? So, I mean, shit, if my hype does even a fraction of that, like I'm happy, you know. But yeah, I don't know, man. I guess again, just I barely upload, so it's like, hey, here's something. Here's a little bit of catnip for you kitties. Is that a weird thing to say? Is that a weird?
No,
I
like that.
Okay, cool.
Why is it that you barely upload though? What are you up to? What are you up to not uploading all the time? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, like Matt said, I recently started, not recently, been there for a while. I started at Rooster Teeth Inside Gaming as an editor slash producer. I don't know. Yeah, producer, right? You know, that term. So that takes up a lot of my time and energy, especially since we do daily uploads. So editing, you know, for a gaming news channel, and it's not just like gaming news, like, you know, there's like actual edits that go into it to make it at least, you know, somewhat digestible and entertaining. So I feel like ever since I've really invested myself in that, it's a lot harder after doing like a week of daily uploads to go and then like write a script or try to work on something for myself. It's just hard to balance both things, especially when I get in my own head all the time where it's like, man, my last thing like took me so long to make. And, you know, do I really want to start on this next project, which I don't even know if maybe like a week into it, I might not even want to do it anymore. So it's just like, it's a weird mental game that I play with myself that I feel like it's something I really need to get over, you know? But yeah, it's just a lack of time and just my own crippling self-doubt.
Well, how long? Inside Gaming is daily, right? It's pretty high volume.
Yeah. It's every single day. So it's, you know, They film at 9 a.m. If I'm on the dailies, I'll get the footage at about 10 or 11. And then I have like 4 or 5 hours to just really cut this thing down into like a digestible 10-minute video.
Wow.
And it sounds kind of easy, but like, you know, just since we're all working remote, it's a lot harder now since we're not actually working at the office. So actually getting the footage to me, it's just like a big time sink that just after I'm done with it, like I'm so mentally drained.
The thing that I notice about your videos and what I think obviously is an influence from John Tron, but one of the reasons I think that people do look forward to your videos so much who know about you is just the range that you'll find. You really don't know what to expect. When you upload a video, there's going to be commentary elements, there's going to be skits, there may be a puppet, there may be a collab, there may be a right. song. It's so all over the map that I do think that unexpected element is part of that hype. But it also leads into what you were saying earlier about these being like projects and taking so long. So have you ever sat mm-hmm. down and calculated like how many hours it takes you to make one of these Doplex videos?
I have briefly. So like typically with like writing a script, right? Because all my stuff is scripted. That is always like the biggest hurdle for me because I have this weird thing where like I want to get the script done in a day, right? So like I don't want to like write part of it and then like, you know, the next day go back into it because I feel like if it's not one, if it doesn't flow all the same, then maybe like certain jokes won't land or, you know. So that the script writing is about like an hour or something if that. And then like editing, it's typically like a week. But the thing is with the editing, I stay up until like 6 a.m. every single day editing. So, I mean, it's definitely probably like each video is, I'd say maybe about 30 hours of just going and just chiseling away at this thing until it's done. It's weird because like once it's done and it's uploaded, I'm like, I don't even know if I'm happy with this thing. But then, you know, once I get like the public reception that people like it, that typically changes my mind on it. But yeah, I mean, it takes a while. And again, that's just the thing why it's so daunting to work on this. And especially as a small channel and, you know, I've been doing this for so long. It's like at some point I'm just like, if I upload this, are people going to watch this? Are people going to see this thing that I, you know, put my heart, soul and my balls into? So yeah, it's definitely it's a constant uphill battle for sure.
Have you considered like paring back some of the amount of work that you put into a video and trying to release content that's less complex to create?
Yeah, actually, I was just having this conversation last night with Kudos, many Kudos. I don't know if you guys know him. Tabor, I know you do.
Yeah.
We were talking about it and pretty much I had this whole idea of like doing more of like kind of like an episodic thing where I can just like maybe shrink these videos down to like shorter form and then just have them release more frequently, like once a week or something. I'm actually thinking about doing a video on like different food mascots, right? So like each episode will be centered around a different mascot and then like kind of do like a deep dive on it, maybe go to like these places where I don't know, like if I'm doing a video on like Ronald McDonald, probably go to like a McDonald's and just go into the McDonald's and try to find Ronald McDonald. And there's a lot of ideas just bounce around in my head of how I can make shorter form content that people might want to watch and something that's less mentally taxing.
And is that hard to do given the style and complexity of your approach on that stuff? Because it's, you know, it's sort of like, you know, it's like, hey, Beethoven, can you pump out a 3-minute pop single? Like, yeah, you're talented, but can you compress it to that degree? I mean, is there any element of feeling like you're losing the doplexness of shifting the content that way?
Oh, 100%. But I think it's, I feel like I'm still at a decent size to where I can kind of play around with the formula a little bit and like find like a good medium that makes me happy and like makes the viewers happy. Because, you know, like I feel like if people do come to my channel for a specific thing, right. And I mean, my channel is already a pretty mixed bag to begin with. So I think I'm still at a good place where I can kind of, you know, dick around with it and see what works best. But I mean, for me, you know, I do want to make sure I'm doing things that don't get stale after a while. Because I feel like I have been doing the same thing for a long time. Granted, I have been changing it up. I mean, the Choose Your Own Adventure video is like something I've been wanting to do for so long. And then like spending 2 months on that and finally getting it done. Like, because my whole thing was like, if I can take on such a big project, then smaller projects will be like nothing. It'll be like super easy. But then now I'm like, man, a smaller project is kind of hard because like, how do I do it and still make it good?
One thing that really interests me, and I love your perspective on it, is how you know, you made these great videos that a lot of YouTubers like the type of people who also make videos appreciate the work and the effort and the talent that you have to put into them. And they haven't necessarily blown up, but it has led you to get a gig making yeah. videos, right? So that obviously is a path that I think our listeners can learn from, that, you know, just because you aren't the size of JonTron, people will still notice your grind, your effort, your talent, et cetera, and give you opportunities to make stuff for them. Because, I mean, content creation is an ever-expanding world, and everybody's always looking for talented people to hire.
Of course. Yeah, no, totally. And then that's the thing, because, like, when it comes to, like, you know, editing and all, because, like, when I first started doing YouTube, like, I didn't go to school for this. Like, I didn't go to film school. I literally just started with iMovie and then Final Cut and then eventually Premiere, and, you know, just through making my own stuff, like, yeah, like I was able to get a job doing it. So, I mean, that, to me, that's a success. But obviously, you know, it's like, I'm doing something for somebody else when, you know, my whole thing was I want to build up my own stuff. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love making videos for Inside Gaming and Rooster Teeth. I think it's super fun. It's a great gig. I'm super thankful for it. And just the fact that I'm able to do that. But obviously, I would love to kind of have like a sustainable thing, you know, just making my own stuff, making people giggle, making people scoff. That's the dream, honestly.
If you can make people chortle and guffaw, you've had a good day.
Oh, dude, the guffaw, that's what I'm going for. If somebody guffaws at one of my videos, I will piss my pants in excitement.
Well, what you've gone through with making a bunch of videos like that, transitioning to Inside Gaming for a lot of it, this reminds me of a path that a very obscure YouTuber named Kevin Lieber of Vsauce 2 went down back in the day.
Oh,
it right. seems really similar, and I hope that Kevin can talk about the similarities there and how that's worked out, because I look at this. And the same, not exactly the same because it wasn't video, but it was writing. But the same kind of thing happened with me, where I did my thing with writing and then eventually get a gig from it. And you've got to think about that in the calculus of what am I getting out of this video? You know, like, what kind of money am I getting from a video? Like, because that's relevant to me being able to live my life. Well, sometimes it's kind of deferred and it's setting you up to get money. And every time I do anything at this point, in a weird way, it's all that writing I did 10, 12 years ago making me money now. And I feel that way with Kevin, where a bunch of videos from back in the day, you know, he makes a living off those now through Vsauce 2.
Right.
You're doing it with Inside Gaming. So if you guys can talk about that process, not a whole lot of people have gone through it, but it's hugely viable. It's awesome. And I think that everybody should hear a bit about it.
Yeah, that's super true. It's a slow burn. I didn't even think to draw that parallel to y'all. I mean, obviously you guys were super successful and you guys make amazing stuff, both through, you know, TCU and Vsauce too.
Well, how did that work out for you though, Kevin?
It was a slow burn is a good way to put it. Because basically I had been doing just a series of creative projects for like nearly a decade before, you know, Vsauce came around. And it's so funny, you know, you think about YouTube and how it just kind of like flattens everybody who's on it to the audience's expectations that everyone who's on it is in the same moment in their life when that's just seriously not the case. Meaning, like, you know, comparing me at you know, nearly 37 years old to like John Swan, who's I think just turned nine years old recently. You know, we're at different points in our life, right? But we're like, when we both upload a video, what's the difference really? Like, that age gap just disappears. The reason I'm saying this is that I spent from the moment I was John Swan's age until my late 20s, making whatever project came into my head, right? And then at some point, it wasn't really going anywhere in terms of a career. Like, I was creatively fulfilled, but I hadn't made a dime. I mean, I was making YouTube videos before there was a YouTube partner program. Like, literally nobody made any money on YouTube when I was uploading like every week. And then when Vsauce, you know, when Michael asked me to start contributing to Vsauce when it was a video game comedy channel, he offered me $100 to make a video. And I was like, jackpot, I made it. I can't believe someone's going to give me 100 smackaroos to like do a creative project. It was mind blowing. You know, because at that time I'm working in bars and I'm working in restaurants and I'm just making videos in my spare time. And just the concept that I could quit those jobs and just make videos full time, it almost didn't matter that I wasn't making stuff on my personal channel and I was making stuff for this other thing called Vsauce and then eventually Vsauce 2. Now, would I have been that excited about it if I hadn't already spent 10 years making like 1,000 projects that I found personally fulfilling? I don't know. Probably not. I probably would have said, you know, forget about it. I'm going to do my own thing. But eventually at some point, like if you want to, like you said, like build a sustainable career or business or have it be your job, it's highly likely that like the thing that you really want to make is not the thing that a lot of people value. I don't know.
Right.
Like, I found that out. Like, I'm saying this about myself. Like, when I was making my Jerry Bloop videos, I would spend, you know, 40, 50 hours on one of those and I'd make $0 on it. And after like 4 years of that, it got pretty tiresome.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I feel like for you, right? Because like Vsauce 2 is like, it's a brand, but it's you, right? Like, you know, because obviously I watch you and, you know, I know Vsauce 2 as Kevin Lieber. So I don't know, because I feel like with you, I mean, you know, when you were doing your own thing and then you kind of became Vsauce 2, it's still kind of your own thing, right? I mean, I'm assuming you come up with the stuff to make, right? Like, it's all your projects at the end of the day, right?
Well, yeah, they're channeled through a format, though, which is like science education, math, you know, that sort of thing. It's
right.
Channeled through like the education filter. And that's something that I would not have.
Funnel.
I just wouldn't have come up with that on my own. Michael and I weren't even doing that for a while in the beginning. Vsauce was video game comedy. And then it became just kind of like best of the web stuff with shows like Loot and Mind Blow. And then eventually, you know, Michael started doing those educational videos and all of Vsauce turned into education. But that in and of itself was an evolution. So I would just say for the, you know, people listening who are maybe at like the beginning of this journey is also like Matt said, you know, you don't really know where it's going to lead. And having an open mind about that is just really, really important, I think.
Of course. Yeah, it's definitely good.
Go on. Yeah.
I was a quick point. Also, too, like even regarding, you know, like just what you create in the present day. And even if it doesn't give you like a fruitful career down the road, that video might pop off in a couple of years. I got a video about the Queen of England being a cannibal. and that video, man, I made that forever ago just as a joke. And like people still watch that video, just random in like a lot of conspiracy theory people. So, you know, don't lose hope, whether it be with a current project or a future project. Don't lose hope. Keep that hope alive. Keep that dream alive. Sorry, I don't know what I was going
to say. Well, speaking of some of the non-standard content that you've had, one thing that was really cool was the video you made where the script was written by AI. How did that play out?
I think that was a while ago. It's funny because like with a lot of these things I make, Yeah, with a lot of these things I make, I just like, I'll make it, you know, be put on paper, I'll record it, I'll edit it, I'll send it out into the ether, and then I'll just like forget about it. I think with that one, it was just like, I punched in like a bunch of information into this like website that essentially just creates a script for you. And that was like one of the hardest and stupidest things I've ever made. Just like with a lot of the things it was asking me for, right? Like, you know, Tom Cruise throws feces on old women. So just like having to figure out how I'm going to superimpose old ladies in my bathtub while a floating Tom Cruise head throws shit at them. This is a lot of it's a lot of like figuring out how to properly do that. I love that video though. I like any opportunity where I get to dress up as Mariah Carey.
Who doesn't? I suppose you could any day you wanted to.
Yeah, I guess I could.
Is that a Patreon only reward?
Yes. Yeah. If you throw me 50 cents, I'll send you a personalized video of me singing We Belong Together in full glam.
So now that we have the exact price on your dignity, is there really anything more to talk about today?
I guess not. No, that's really all I came here for, just to shill that, to advertise my new Patreon tier. So get at it.
You've got a bunch of different series, though, that you've put videos into, like Internet Oddities, where yes. It's the internet is a weird place, but it's our place. Is that the mantra there?
That is the mantra, words to live by.
Where does that come from? Like with all of the things, I mean, Internet Oddities is like half the internet. How do you right. approach yeah. like, you know, it's like choosing a needle in a stack of needles. How do you do this?
Right. Honestly, I mean, you know, that series is like my, that's like my, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like a good analogy. That's like the main series of my channel, right? That's like what I make when I don't know what else to make. That's the thing that I do, right? I don't know, man, the internet itself is just fucking weird, and there's just a lot of things that are on the internet that it's so easy to make content from, you know. It's a little regurgitated, obviously, because you can just go watch the original thing, but it's nice to have a little bit of a commentary, maybe, you know, have a whole video based around a certain thing of this super niche culture on a dark, dingy, dank corner of the internet. I don't know. It's fun. I hate the internet, but I also love it because of that. Because of things like fetish wrestling. I didn't know that was a thing, but now I do. I don't know what I'm going to do with that information, but that's in my brain now. It's locked away in my hippocampus.
What is? I haven't seen this video. What is fetish wrestling? What does that entail?
So essentially, it's dudes who pay very strong women to dominate them in like wrestling format. You know, they just lay out a mat, a bunch of older men will kind of just gather around, and they'll just take turns wrestling this buff woman, and they get off to it, and they pay her and they go on about their day. It's some, you know, but people are into weird shit, and wrestling buff ladies is one of them. Evidently.
Do they try to win? Do the men try to beat the buff lady, or do they want to lose to the buff lady?
I think they want to lose. I think they want to lose to the buff lady. I think that's how they, you know, how they get off.
But do they though?
So, I mean, look at Evan trying to pretend that he doesn't know how this works.
Right.
I know. It's all,
even
it's
though
all
I have a subscription. I have a membership at my local fetish wrestling gym that I go like to. That's how I,
me asking you how to upload a YouTube video. So what is this YouTube thing? How do you upload it? No. You say that they, you know, are into this, they get off on it, as you say, that like, do right. they, does that happen there? Or like, do they think about it later? And then it's like, I don't understand the logistics here.
Yeah. Please neither do me. I mean, it's pretty much, you know, these very strong ladies who just run their own business. Like, hey, come through. I'll wrestle you for an hour until we're all both sweaty. And the people who do it are obviously like, you know, the, I don't want to diss them, but they're definitely, you know, not the happiest of individuals. But you know, that's their kink. You know, I can't knock their kink because I haven't tried it. So if anybody wants to try some fetish wrestling, you can email me at doplextv@gmail.com and we'll
make it happen. And what is the cost for 1 hour of wrestling with Doplex?
50 cents. That's I got a flat rate for everything, man.
That's cheap.
No matter what. No matter what you do, it's just going to be 50 cents. Can you call it by bits, though? Can you say it's four bits?
Sure.
So it's like got this old timey feel, like everything in this store is only four bits.
Yeah. Or Bitcoin. I can charge Bitcoin.
Ooh. Well, that's the thing is like you hope somebody misunderstands and accidentally sends you four Bitcoin.
Right.
What was
then
a
I just
bit?
Let it sit.
A penny? What was that? What was an actual
bit? Two bits is a quarter. Yeah.
Oh.
And I actually heard it one time. I heard it in the wild. I was at, in 2011, I was playing poker at a casino in Las Vegas that I knew Jose Canseco played poker at.
And tell me about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was right around the time when he like ripped off his thumb or something. And he was like, he was there the night before
Wait,
and
off
like
his
bleeding
thumb?
Out of his, like something
Why?
Happened
like
with his thumb,
himself?
Where, like got like torn off. Yeah. I forget what the accident was. But yeah, he was like playing poker at a really low level, hanging out with people. But on Sundays they had a hot dog promotion and it was 75 cents for a hot dog. And you can imagine, you know, the line for the 75 cent hot dogs. And this old guy in front of me yells to somebody young, you know, way behind, "Get over here. These hot dogs is six bits. The hot dogs is only six bits." And it was amazing because I was like, he's not trying to be funny. He's truly putting it in bits. And this is probably the last time in my life I will ever hear somebody use bits unironically. Like it was amazing. It was such a cool moment.
So just so I understand, because I mean, well, for one, I'm not 100% sure what a bit is outside of Twitch. And two,
six bits a dollar. That was the saying that my parents used was two bits, four bits, six bits a dollar. So you could remember. Because they did put things in bits back in the day.
I've never heard that before. So that this person just knew like the conversion rate off top. Yeah, that does seem a lot more complicated. So how many bits is five bucks?
He saw the hot dogs and processed it in bits.
How many bits is five bucks?
40.
40
bits.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to start doing all my finances in bits from now on. Just to make it real confusing. You know, when I do my taxes,
pay
I want to ask
and write
for my
out
refund
checks.
In bits. Yeah, in bits. I like that. That's really interesting. Man,
so
you guys are a fountain of knowledge. You guys
sorry
are a fountain
to go on
that
rant, but
no, it's okay. I feel like
that's
I've
probably my last time to speak on bits naturally in a conversation.
Right.
Like, when am I going to get that opportunity again? I had to take it, just like the hot dog man.
Yeah, maybe they have conventions like BitCon. People just go, they don't do anything but just buy stuff in bits. You know, they have like different souvenirs, like trinkets, bracelets. You just buy them in bits.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
So you've got the internet oddities. You've got internet odysseys as well.
Yeah. Odysseys is more of a look back at like a lot of time I spent on the internet as a child. You know, I did the MySpace, I did the Newgrounds. It's just more of like an overarching, those are a little bit more video essay-y. Those are pretty fun. I need to do another one of those. Those are cool.
Is MySpace still usable? Can you go there? Can you still have your MySpace? Space? Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's more for, I think it's more for like music now. I think it's like, I want to say like Justin Timberlake bought MySpace or something. And now it's like, or I,
seems
I,
like
he
a
had
good
it.
Investment.
He owned it at one point. Oh yeah, I know, right?
Good job on that one.
Yeah.
It's like little, generic entertainment news. They're billing it as the best in music and culture all in one place. Like there's an article about Flea of Red Hot Chili Peppers, Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones, and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot. So yeah, it's like really generic entertainment at this point.
It's pretty much like a BuzzFeed or like a Vice. It's very much, it's not at all what it used to be. Not in the glory days of MySpace.
It's like Justin Timberlake's financial advisor was like, do you want to invest in the Hindenburg or MySpace? Those are your options. He's like, all right.
Hey, you feel like wasting some money?
Hindenburg's in flames.
Hey, JT, I see that
bathwater.
Got a couple bill burning a hole. Oh, bathwater? Yeah. Like just in general.
Yeah. And you selling yours. No, I want to talk about bathwater. Yeah. And your video on Belle Delphine trolling us all.
Oh yeah. Oh, Bill. Yeah, that was I think I released that video like after she did the whole bathwater stunt. I personally think Belle Delphine is kind of cool. I think she's a cool figure on the internet. Only because what she does is not just like, hey, here's my boobs, send me 5 bits, right? It's more of, you know, it's more of like an artistic expression where she's, you know, I don't know, I'm talking out of my ass. She sold bathwater there was a rumor going around that people got herpes from it. That was pretty cool.
But I don't want you to just, you know, feel like you're making this up. I want to hear your theory here, because your theory is that she is trolling us all. So is she real, or is this all like the most elaborate Andy Kaufman act of all time?
I would definitely say the latter. I definitely think she's a modern day Andy Kaufman. I 100% think she's been trolling the internet, and she does a damn good job of it. I mean, all the way from her creating a Pornhub account, getting a bunch of lonely boys to go like a post, so that way she created a Pornhub account and then just uploaded videos that were not porn. I think that's a fantastic troll. Kudos to her. I honestly think she's the greatest troll of our generation, honestly. And she's making money from it. She's making fucking bank from it. It's amazing. It's so cool.
A lot of money. Yeah, the numbers are pretty nuts. Even when she took a bunch of time off, she was still raking it in and came back and did quite well. But speaking of that video, I do want to shout to Internet Unwind, who's in the chat right now. Mm. He was
the king.
He was in that video. Yeah.
Yes,
he was in there selling the bathwater, selling Doplex bathwater. And the thing he held up, the jar, I described it as red brown filth. It wasn't bad. I mean, I don't know what you would get from touching, let alone drinking that bathwater. But I think it would have been quite a bit worse than the herpes that Belle Delphine was accused of spreading.
Oh, sure.
And in the chat, he says it was called an infected whitehead shot, an alcoholic beverage for degenerates. It certainly looked like some drained pustules. It was horrible. Yeah. But it was an awesome segment in that video.
Yeah, it's so funny. I love collabing with that dude. He always makes my stuff so much better. Internet Unwind is a legend.
He played a QVC host.
Criminally undersold YouTuber. Yeah.
That whole gag of him, you know, selling like gamer urine and gamer underwear and gamer scrapings of grease from a gamer controller, a rolling subscription of like nastiness. But that humor comes from a real place. I mean, it comes from the fact that, you know, if we didn't sum it up previously well enough, this girl, Belle Delphine, literally sold her purportedly used bathwater and it sold out.
Right.
And people bought it. And
people drank it.
My question is, what is the logical conclusion to that? Like, are we going to, is this the future? Are we going to end up in this dystopian society where people are like selling nail clippings to each other and hair, which I don't even know if it is any of this. This is like a second question. Maybe Matt knows the answer to this. Is that type of thing even legal? What is the legality of selling like your pee? It can't be. That must be illegal, right?
Well, isn't it in Japan? They have like vending machines that sell like used underwear. Isn't that a thing?
Yes. I mean, supposedly.
Did you see any in Tokyo? Did you see anything like that, Kevin? Because I didn't, but I wasn't in a place to see it, really.
No. But I also wasn't in a place to see it. You know, the only place other than the area in Tokyo that we were in, which was very sparse and bland, I went to was Akihabara, which is where all the gaming stuff is. There are vending machines absolutely everywhere. That I saw in Japan, but it was mostly just drinks. Those little toys, gacha toys. But yeah, that's like a legend in Japan, is that they sell stuff like that in vending machines. Yeah. But you know, your video had me thinking, is this the beginning of a thing? You know, even insofar as like the rise of OnlyFans being a thing and simps being a thing. Mm. That's all extremely
simp culture.
New.
Yeah, I mean, so in the case of the bathwater, I remember before Belle Delphine actually did that, it was a meme on the internet. Like I remember because she essentially took that meme and brought it to life. Cause there were a lot of people like saying, like, damn shoddy, let me drink your bathwater. You know, that was always like the meme and like gamer girl bathwater. And she actually did it. she actually did this thing. I haven't seen anyone else do anything like that. But my guess is I could definitely see us heading towards some dystopian future where it's more easily accessible. So you got like girls on Twitch, right, that a lot of people donate their life savings to and expect something in return. And eventually those incels are going to revolt because they want something in return. And what is something that is easily resourced? It regrows and you can infinitely supply your fans with it. Any guesses?
Regrows? Or your hair?
Regrows. Yeah, hair, toenails, fingernails. I think that's where we're heading. I think eventually, yeah, we're definitely going to get the very desperate transactions that happen on the internet for just a little semblance of just feeling someone you want to feel. It's disgusting.
Oh, that's such a weird way to put it. That's so awkward. That's talking about watching a Twitch stream you like and just think, I want to feel that streamer. I was watching Kevin play pool on Carson's 8-ball tournament today, which he won, by the way. Congratulations on advancing to the Sweet 16.
Yes, nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
My dream of owning a horse named Carson is alive. What'd you say, Toplex?
I said, Matt, were you thinking about how bad you wanted to feel him while he was doing the 8-ball?
Yeah, I saw Carson there, and I thought, well, which one of Carson's regenerative body parts do I want to rub against my cheeks right now? His tears.
Carson's tears. He could sell those for a lot. Famous.
Yeah, he really is.
Legendary tears.
He could. Yeah, and that actually brings up a good point. It's not even limited to a specific gender, right? Like, you know, guys could do it too. You know, Carson could sell his tears.
Yeah.
I could sell my piss. It's a
really good idea.
Market.
Carson selling his tears. People would buy that.
Just monetizing his pain. I love it. It's so crass, but it's so genius too.
He would have to constantly go through so much mental anguish to supply the demand.
Yeah.
imagine everything's going well for you and you're all angry about it because it's just so hard to produce tiers for your customers, for your simps.
Oh. I was going to say he was hiring one of those fetish wrestlers to just pummel tears out of him.
Just beat the
full
shit out
time. Just collecting them in an eyedropper.
Or one of those like dominatrixes that they don't touch you. They just insult you until you cry. Like the people are just like being humiliated.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, I guess I would guess it is.
Matt, did you ever determine whether or not any of this stuff is legally ambiguous?
Internet Unwind had a theory in the chat that I think he was talking about Japan specifically, that he thinks that things were only illegal if you do transactions like in a park or near a school or some public kind of place. I was thinking about it, though, and you do run into problems with the internet and interstate. I mean, as soon as you sell something across state lines, you're in a different category anyway. It can be anything. You know, you can sell books and it's a different category then. Like, so for example, in New York State with food production, if you wanted to, say, smoke meat and sell it, make beef jerky and sell it, you can do that without a whole lot of hassle. But you have to do it in person, like farmers markets, deliver to stores, they can sell it. You can't just put up a website and sell that, even if you're shipping to other people within the state. So like, no matter what it's going to be, I mean, you can sell tiers, you can do whatever. That's a little different. But then you get this murky issue of what constitutes a merchandise as a sale. And this is actually a Patreon thing that came to be months ago, where physical rewards became taxable because they were considered sold goods, even though they're not a sale. You know, it's not something you buy. It's a direct result of a financial contribution. Whereas just saying, here's $20 because I like what you do, no tax there. But here's $20, I like what you do, and you say, thank you, here's a mug to cry into, all of a sudden that mug cost is taxable. So yeah, like I started thinking about this, and no matter how you play it, it would be very delicate. So you could potentially deliver it as a Patreon reward, but yeah, you could definitely do that. I don't think there's any restriction on the actual fluid there.
And it'd be more fresh. If you like, instead of like, you know, pissing or spitting or crying into a jar, you could actually go to the place where the recipient lives and just give it to them there. You know, like, oh, you got a spare mason jar? Let me spit in it real quick.
Yeah.
And that way it's fresh. You know,
it's like going to a Benihana where they make the food in front of you. You could just cry for them.
Yeah. You can make an onion volcano and drop your tears straight down the middle on a hot grill. Watch it sizzle.
Kevin, how do we transition from this into retro gaming?
I don't want to. I don't want to. Let's stay here. Let's stay here forever. Let's never transition again. How is she able to sell her bathwater then? Was there like a thing on the label that said like for fictional purposes, you know, only, like not real bathwater, for entertainment only?
Didn't she have to say it was like fake or something? Like it wasn't real bathwater, it was just tap water.
So
I think there was like something along those lines.
But I mean, people buy memorabilia of all kinds. Like, you know, people have sold things like a strand of a famous person's hair, you know?
Right.
Like I remember, I forget which president, but we're talking a classic like Washington or Lincoln level, where there's a hair that somebody found in a book or a diary, something like that, that they used to own. And it was very plausible that it was that person's. And so, you know, that sold and it wasn't a biohazard, you know? So maybe there's a class of goods that do constitute problems.
Biohazard.
Yeah.
Whereas like a fingernail clipping is not going to be hazardous, whereas a Ziploc bag of frozen feces might be.
Maybe we should have moved on.
No, I want to stay on the feces a little while longer. See, now we're entering my territory.
I was just thinking how absurd it is to talk about mailing like saliva in the coronavirus era. Okay. It's like you're like literally a biohazard. Like, could it be more dangerous right now to do this?
Can you imagine for a second, right? Like, imagine right now somebody who has coronavirus or COVID or however you want to say it, somebody who has the infection or the virus spits in a jar. So that way that virus is in the jar. I don't know how long it lives. And then 20 years from now, when we all look back on this time, we're all in quarantine. And then you have a jar of coronavirus, you know, could you sell that? I mean, at that point, it's a biohazard, right? Because if you open it, then you unleash a whole new wave. I'm thinking off the top of my head, just like business decisions and what people would buy. Because I'm sure there is some sick people out there that would definitely buy a jar of COVID.
Business decisions / like biochemical terrorist decisions.
Oh, yeah. I guess, yeah, you're right.
You sound like probably, a Mission Impossible villain.
We're going to save this jar of COVID for the next 20 years. And when everyone is at their most vulnerable, COVID 2, electric boogaloo.
We joke about this, but we sent potentially poisonous medicine to our patrons.
Oh my God.
Some time ago.
What'd you guys send? SARS?
Oh my God.
We got these little boxes of medicine that were about 100 years old. Ben, who works on the show, he and I were at a flea market and saw them and we're like, oh, this is a really cool little package, whatever. We bought them and then, you know, later on looked at the ingredients and they had nightshade in them, which, you don't really want to ingest a lot of nightshade.
What is nightshade? It sounds dangerous with a name like nightshade.
Belladonna. Belladonna is also a popular name for it. Yeah.
Belladonna.
But yeah, I mean, in smaller bits, you can hack it. And I guess it has a useful, or did have a useful medicinal function. But in larger doses, it's going to go very poorly for you. Dojangles says muscle relaxer, Soma.
Oh, Dojangles is, the medicine
queen.
She's
got the credibility on this issue.
She does. So I believe her.
That's right.
I will believe her. I'll trust her with my life. If she tells me to take a Soma, I will take a Soma.
It sounds like something you'd collect in Skyrim or The Witcher 3 to like poison some sort of goblin.
The nightshade.
Yeah. Collect nine nightshades.
Yeah, we wondered if that would get through customs. You know, if like in a scan, that would be caught as a suspicious thing. But every package went through domestically, as it should have. We weren't violating anything. Internationally, it went through fine. And James from the Baby Gang, I met up with him in Brisbane. And yeah, we actually... we had a few beers and took the 100-year-old medicine to see what would happen, and we lived.
That's one hell of a night.
That's what we do for our babies. That's what we do for our patrons, is we provide these experiences that you truly cannot get anywhere else.
Yeah. Right. Medicinal Russian roulette. Let's drink this and see if we die.
Yeah.
I like
the
that.
Kool-Aid so you can ascend to the UFOs.
Yeah.
And Boromir is posting the video of us doing it into the episode chat right now. So this one's beautiful. An exclusive little clip for the patrons so they can see.
Awesome.
But yeah, we do have to transition now we've got it. We can go from retro medicine to retro gaming.
Oh, one and the same.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I dig it. All right.
So you like... the old stuff in
I do like the old
in a
stuff.
Way that like you're in a weird position age wise because you're not 12 but you're not 50 either,
right?
So where does your retro period begin given kind of your life's timeline?
Well, as a man who is in his now late 20s, birthday was a couple days ago, I am thank you, very much a 90s kid, so that's definitely where my thank you, kudos in the chat, wish me a HBD, thank you y'all. I definitely like the old stuff. As you can see behind me, I got a nice little setup of my old collection. I'm actually in the process of building an arcade cabinet right now, and it's the most taxing and annoying thing, but that's been fun.
Why did you decide to do that?
because there is a game that I'm not very good at, but I loved as a kid, so much so that like from the soundtrack, I have the soundtrack on vinyl. I have the CD version framed on my wall. I have a very weird obsession with the soundtrack of this game, to the point where I said, you know what, I'm just going to build the arcade cabinet because I want it so bad. And I have some extra time on my hands during quarantine, so why not? So that'll probably take a while.
Wait, what game is it?
It's Killer Instinct, the first one.
Oh.
Big fan. I love Killer Instinct. The soundtrack is everything.
What is that game about? I'm not familiar there.
It's just a fighting game. Just a 3D fighting game. It's awesome. Honestly, I absolutely suck at that game. Like, I've never been good at that game. It's not even a game that like I inherently like to play. I just like to listen to, and I just like to look at it. It's just like from an aesthetic standpoint, it's very nice. Is that weird?
Is the soundtrack on Spotify?
I think so.
And that qualifies as retro, because actually Kevin and I were talking about this maybe a week ago about what retro games are, and Chinchilla just brought it up in the chat. When does something begin to be a retro game at this point?
Well, and the Wii is considered retro
now. Does that line change? Is it really?
Yeah.
Wii?
The Wii is considered retro, wow. Yeah.
Wow, I think that's not old at all.
Yeah, the Wii. I mean, it's, how old is the Wii? It came out, what, like 2007?
12 years old?
Yeah.
I was thinking off my head, top of my head, 2008. It was like the Wii heyday. Probably.
I think once a console goes out of like, once it stops being manufactured, and once people start to actively look for it, that's when it's retro. Once it becomes like a sought after item, as opposed to like a commercially available thing that you can just go and buy, you know. I think if you have to buy
either
the thing
Blink
on
or
eBay.
Slush, one of them asked if the N64 was retro. That came up last week, and I wondered exactly where the line is, because that is pretty old at this point. You know, that seems pretty clear that it qualifies.
I would say so.
But, you know, I see people just talking about games and just kind of wonder where you draw the line, and when does it move up? Like, at a certain point, something newer than the Wii is going to be retro.
Right. I think...
Next console that's going to become retro that isn't now?
I'd say the PSP. Although I think the PSP came out before the Wii, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know. It did. Oh, okay. Yeah, never mind.
I mean,
PSP's,
if you consider the Wii
ancient
retro currently, then the generation after that, you know, would be, well, I guess PS3 and 360 were all, that was that era. Man, I don't consider that retro. I don't buy it.
No.
I think that's too modern for.
Yeah, it's still too new.
I would
new.
Say the generation also, before that, I would argue, is retro. PS2, GameCube. Oh, yeah. Dreamcast, that would be my line as of 2020. That's Kevin's line for retro 2020.
You heard it here first, folks.
That's it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, specifically because it's a lot harder to connect one of those consoles to a TV now. Because like the PS3 and the 360, they had HDMI cables, so it's, you know, easier input. Whereas like a lot of those consoles, you need the AV
RCA
cables. Yeah, the RCA, where obviously you need either an old CRT TV or you need a HDTV that has those components. But then again, if you plug it in, it's going to look like absolute shit because the resolution, it's all stretched out and ugly. So I think once connectivity becomes a problem, or to where it's something you actually have to like figure out, then it's retro, because you're retroactively trying to put yourself in that space of just connecting this thing to play this game. But it's a lot harder because, you know, the world has moved on from where those games were at in terms of how you can actually play them, if that makes sense.
That's a really good answer. I feel like we're really inside gaming right now.
We are inside
gaming. We really got deep inside it.
Now the question is, how do we get out?
Well, what platform was Super Mario World on?
That was Super Nintendo.
That was Super Nintendo, because you made a video about that. And yes. I want to hit that because it elides into some of your music. That was that the first video game video that you did?
I made a few. I have an old series that I used to do where I just talk about video games. Super Mario World, that video is more of a... was more of a passion project for me because I love that game so much. The Super Nintendo
was a love
was,
letter to that game.
Yeah, exactly. Because the Super Nintendo was before my time. So when I was born, my mom had that console and she had Super Mario World. So that was like my first video game, and I spent a lot of time playing that game. So Super Mario World is just fantastic, and it still holds up. Like, you could still go back and play that game now, and it's still like, looks beautiful, plays even better. It's just such a good game. It's like the staple video game, in my opinion.
I agree.
A really good element of that video was the song that you put in toward the end.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you about that song.
Sure.
If you haven't seen the video, I want to reinforce that the Create Unknown has a very deep appreciation for prose and poetry, that I'd like to think that both Kevin and I are connoisseurs of language.
Okay.
And I want you to keep that in mind as we examine some of the lyrics in your original song here. And for context, you are dressed as Mario as this is happening.
Right.
And it goes, "Shut up, B. I'm not coming this time. You're constantly calling like a damn hotline. I'm done jumping hurdles for a B in pink. And I'll let King Koopa put a pipe in your stink. Won't bother saying, let's a go. Cause this time I ain't leaving home. Beat my salami to Daisy Triple X. Cause I'm well aware you ain't offering sex. It's a me, hoes mad. It's a me, hoes mad."
God. Well, first of all, I've never had one of my songs in that kind of format where it's read like very Ben Shapiro, wet ass P word style. So I definitely appreciate that.
Like slam poetry.
Right. And it's funny
when
you
explain the degeneracy
like
behind these bars.
You want me to explain the what the process,
the degeneracy behind these bars?
Oh man. Well, you know, I think it's very,
it's an awesome song. We'll put it timestamped in the description so that everybody can get straight to it and hear it, because it's funny as hell. It's really, really good. It's such a good segment in that video.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I think the song, you know, very speaks to where we are as a society. You know, we're jumping through hurdles for a bee in pink, but sometimes she just doesn't want to, you know, offer up that, that, you know, what some guys look for and why they turn to fetish wrestling. It's more of a staple in our society of where we are as a culture, right? And I don't even know. I'm just talking out of my ass. It's a song about Mario wanting to get his little wiener sucked by the princess.
There seems to be disappointment on both sides. I have a feeling, reading through that stanza, that Mario is upset.
Yeah.
That she's probably annoyed and upset as well. So I feel like you've captured the frustration of our times
in
this song.
And
nobody's happy
relationships.
In that song, are they?
No, of course not. Nobody's ever happy in the world of Mario.
Mario. How do you like doing music compared to doing videos? Do you ever think about doing music, you know, more, putting more effort into that?
I mean, I've thought about it. Right. Cause like growing up, I was in like bands and stuff. You know, I was super big into like hardcore music. Never really got into like rap or anything like that. Really, I only started doing it ironically, as they say it. It's, you know, I would just do it as a joke. I thought it was really funny. Yeah. I mean, as far as like doing that, I don't know. I feel like it's so hard to make music. Like, I have so much respect for people who can actually like make a beat, because I've made a few, and it's incredibly hard. And I feel like you need like a whole nother level of inspiration to make music, because it is so goddamn hard. So I don't know. I want to say that's in my wheelhouse, but I'd rather do that than make videos. I love doing both. I like incorporating the two. I think that's a lot of fun.
Well, before we move on to questions from our patrons, I just wanted to tell a quick Super Nintendo story. Oh, two, actually. First is just a comment that after watching your video.
How many
about
do you have?
I have a comment, and then I have a story. So I actually have no questions, but we'll get to our patrons' questions and they'll take care of that on my behalf. The comment is that after watching your video where you talked about how great the sound design in Super Mario World is, I started playing it again. I took out the SNES Classic that I have out of the closet and fired it up because you're right. That game holds up in a way that really very few, I think, games that old at this point do. Where I feel like you could hand Super Mario World to any kid who's into Fall Guys and Fortnite, and they would have a lot of fun with it. The story that I have is that when the Super Nintendo first came out, I was 6 years old, and a friend of my older brother's brother had a Super Nintendo. So he brought it over, and for some reason, you know, I was probably losing at Super Mario World or whatever game we were playing, and I was, you know, airing my frustrations and my grievances as a 6-year-old brat. And he convinced me that part of the new technology of Super Nintendo was that it has a microphone that listens to you and will alter the gameplay depending on the things that you say. So if you're mad and mean to the game, the Super Nintendo will know and it will punish you. So do not be mad. Do not be mean while playing your Super Nintendo. So just let that be a lesson.
And did you believe?
It's like Elf on a Shelf style.
It is. I was 6. It worked.
I feel like that. That's definitely some stuff I would tell my little brother growing up. Just some bullshit lie, just to make him behave. That's so
stop
funny.
Being annoying.
Yeah,
I think the video game doesn't like it.
Oh man.
Are we ready for questions then?
Yeah,
we have a lot actually.
Really?
This is what I'm talking about. Like the wild popularity of the Doplex.
Man.
In all facets.
I was not expecting that questions. Wow. Cool.
Yeah, we have as many questions that popped in as we did for iDubbbz. Oh. So we're going to have to machine gun these.
Wow.
The first one though is that we were unable to secure a sponsor for this episode in time for production. So that means we need you to invent a sponsor right now and do just a real quick, like one line ad read for us.
Okay. Hey everybody. Today's episode is sponsored by Doplex Scissors. Get your own scissors at doplex.com/TCU and get your own scissors that will cut anything from ball hair to unwanted foreskin. So you can do your own at-home circumcisions with these scissors. And the pack includes these scissors and these a little bag of screws. What you do with it is you... So after you make the incision, you just screw it back together and then the wound heals itself. Thank you, Doplex Scissors, for sponsoring today's episode. Was that good?
You can use code CREATE. Use code CREATE when you place your orders.
Okay. I said slash TCU. We'll know. So I was hoping that was enough.
Oh, that's good. Keep it simple though. That's good. Yeah.
You know, some people have a code, some people just have a URL.
Reactions in episode chat include that was absolutely vile.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was thinking, you know, you'd start off with something simple, like cut a piece of paper,
right.
But not go straight for, like, you know, genitalia, but you know, here we are.
It was wholesome. That's where my mind goes. I don't know.
So the Kino Corner asks, how was it being in a Leafy video?
Oh man. It was a surprise. It was definitely a shock to wake up and see a lot of people saying, oh, you're in a Leafy video. My first instinct was fear. Like a deer that's about to get eaten, right? I'm like, fuck. But then I saw it and I'm like, yeah, this is dumb. It's pointless. It's old news. But it was cool. I will say that. It was actually really cool just to have experienced being under fire in such a big spotlight, you know? Just like a very big, prolific creator roasting me. I thought that was kind of cool. It was really a really interesting experience.
But you lived through it.
I lived
through
it.
You got through the roast.
Yes. Yeah, I'm still here today. Haven't used these Doplex scissors to, self-mutilate, code create, by the way.
But you could if you wanted to.
I could. They're very easily accessible.
We will, out of human necessity, swing this back to a wholesome question. Okay. Favorite game? This is from Chinchilla.
Oh, favorite game. Man, it's kind of a hard one because, like, I feel like I have so many. It's like very like solid games that I could just always kind of play. Man, favorite game. Well, my favorite game franchise is Resident Evil. So anything Resident Evil, I'm all about. Big fan. I like zombies. Like the spooky stuff.
That's cool. And on gaming still, going back to your Mario song, Mario song. Is Mario in the song familiar with Bowsette?
Oh, maybe need to make a sequel directed towards Bowsette, because no, Bowsette was not on that Mario's mind, unfortunately.
I can see that universe Bowsette? Getting extended. There's a lot to unpack.
Right, yeah.
There's a Bowsette?
Oh, yes. It's, what is it? When it's like the Toadette crown. I forgot the lore behind it, but it's basically like a sexy Bowser. Who looks like
Peach. Is this
Peach.
In a game, or is this like fan service?
I think it was like fan art or something. It's I don't know, people okay. like drew.
It made the rounds though.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Yeah. I just posted in the chat.
I think I remember this.
Yeah, just popped in episode chat.
Some reason I thought it was a game thing, but yeah.
No, it's some very weird.
Huff says Bowsette, the lewd queen of the weebs. Yeah.
Some nice That's slimy right. fan
yeah,
art.
So I can see. Internet thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was a simpler time. Marco wants to know if that's a Roland keyboard in the back behind you.
Oh, no, that's
the people who are listening on audio and not seeing the amazing spread that Doplex has. It's got a bunch of cool stuff back there.
It's a bunch of stuff that I don't typically use. It's like, you know, when you buy something, you're like, I'm going to use this thing. But then you don't use it as much as you thought you would. That's why I got a lot of stuff back there. But no, it's just it's a Casio. It's a cool little Casio that I've yet to get a stand for, so I can actually learn how to play the damn thing. But right now, it's on display.
What's the biggest regret in the background?
The biggest
oh,
regret?
Oh, sorry, Kevin. What did you say?
Well,
yeah, no, I just wondered, like, you're like, what do you look back and wonder, yeah.
I was going to say, before you get to the biggest regret, obviously the most prized possession are the Mortal Kombat paper cuts.
Yes.
My wife made for you.
Yes, she did.
That you have on your Mortal Kombat 2
cabinet. Those are in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, I love those things, by the way. For a while, they were above my record player, but I'm like in the process of kind of like moving stuff around in my office, and I thought they would just look beautiful there. And they do. I think they fit perfect. I'm glad you noticed those.
I agree. Yeah, it's awesome. It's great to see.
Yeah, tell your wife again. She does amazing work. It's fantastic.
I will.
And what was
Dojangles, the queen of medicine? Was that what you called her?
Yes, the queen of modern medicine.
Yeah, the queen of modern medicine. She's working on a cure right now for all of us.
Thank God.
She asks, ear juice to when?
Oh. Well, I do have, I'd say it's like about halfway done. I have like a lot of like just music that I haven't released. It's just been like sitting on my computer, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this yet because I don't have enough to make like a full on album. So I don't know, probably, sometime this year, maybe just whenever it's done, but I do have music that is done. Just a lot of stupid stuff I've made over the past years since the last album.
Well, Puff has a music question as well.
Yeah.
What's your so he's mixed some things together today, which he calls Tabor Wave. And let me tell you, this genre is about to explode.
I like the
it's
name.
Used
already.
A couple clips from it's good. There's a lot of thumping and bumping in these songs. Very let's see. I don't know exactly which words to describe it. Is it a dubstep kind of thing? It's very, very far from what I normally listen to, so I don't know exactly how to label it. But he said, what's your opinion on fan-made music that, you know,
basically butchers one's content,
but yeah. But what's that like? Has there been any like derivative stuff from the Doplex channel that anybody's done?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I guess I'm having a hard time understanding. So fan-made music that butchers one's content. Huh.
I think that was a highly specific reference by him, but like, would you want people to take something like that Mario song and take their own direction to it?
Yeah.
You know, just like do whatever they want with it.
Yeah. I would love that. If somebody did that, that'd be so cool. Yeah. That'd be sweet.
I hope some of the people listening, especially in the episode chat right now, are taking this as a challenge.
Yes.
Because we have a lot of talented music people listen to The Create Unknown. And I just, yeah, we already have challenge accepted popping into the chat. So awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, if I can get a
Doplex remixes coming up.
Yeah, I want a Taborwave remix to any one of my songs. Please.
I was going to say that. Yeah, Matt should record your your slam poetry version of the lyrics as part of this challenge.
That'd be awesome. Could
share it for everyone.
Just him reading it out word for word.
This has to happen.
It needs to happen.
One thing we didn't really touch on was Naked Man.
Oh.
And I think we need to know a little bit about Naked Man before we get to the question here. Sure. How did that happen? How did Naked Man come into your life?
So I found him in a garage. he was alone and he was hungry. And I think the first time I actually used him in a video was like for a collab that never happened. It was like for one of my friends, he was making a video and I was like, oh, can I try this thing? He's like, yeah, sure. And like the video never happened. Like he never ended up making the video. But I filmed it and it was there. And it was just like one of those things that just like, I started doing it. I'm like, oh, this is kind of funny, but also kind of stupid. It's like a lot of other people have like an inanimate object they talk to just for the sake of like banter, just synthetic, completely artificial banter. I don't know. I feel like, he's just kind of become my roommate now. You know, he just sleeps on the couch, eats all the food. I fucking hate him. Every morning I stick his head in the toilet and I got to remind him who's boss because I feel like he's getting a little too comfortable.
Do you know enough about him to replace him? Like if you wanted another Naked Man, if you wanted naked twins, would you be able to do it?
He does have a cousin that was given to me by one of my friends, Trevor from the Bleach Boys. I went over to his house and he actually gave me another puppet. That looks just like Naked Man, but he's wearing a jacket. So he's not naked. He's a clothed version of Naked Man. He's also in my closet. They sleep together. It's a little weird cause they're related, but, you know, just like fetish wrestling, do not judge. What's that?
Is it removable?
It is removable, but he refuses to take it off. He refuses to take it off. His name is Jacket Man because he doesn't take it off. It never comes off. Legend has it. He has a huge
penis. Don't you wonder what's under the jacket though?
No, because he exposes himself, you know, all the time. It's like, dude, put that thing away. I don't want to see it. God.
So he's like one of those trench coat flashers, right? I know. Wow.
Yeah.
Why are you like this?
you know, it's you can't exactly choose your circle of friends, you know. And unfortunately, all my friends are puppets. Oh, there he is. Somebody just. Turn your $15 puppet to $150 puppet. Yep, that's it. That's Jacket Man right there.
God. Well, Naked Man is like I've really looked forward to like waiting for when and how Naked Man is going to pop in, and that you used him for the shirts that you made.
Yes.
And again, if you're listening on audio, which many of you will be later on, I'm wearing the Doplex shirt that I got that has Naked Man. A little bust of Naked up on the chest.
Drawn by yours
truly.
Awesome.
Is he going to get his... Oh, you drew Naked Man. Made the art for this.
Yeah, well, it was a bit of a trace because I'm not an artist. But, you know, I took my own liberties. I traced it, just colored it. do I have any plans for Naked Man? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Is Naked Man going to to get his own proper presence.
Yeah. You know, he might, who knows, maybe he'll kill me in my sleep and then take over. You know, he's always talking about how he wants more responsibilities. And I've caught him at the foot of my bed, just staring with a kitchen knife in his hand. So who knows what the future holds? I might have said too much. Yeah, that's so dumb.
Base weight. Base. Speaking of roommates, I know you have a bad one in Naked Man, and Dojangles is saying in chat too that Naked Man owes child support, that he's a deadbeat, and that her naked children are starving. So,
oh yeah,
you may have to. We may have a legal obligation actually to send her your address
to come to get him.
He can be served properly.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's been in hiding. He's mentioned children. I wasn't aware of his secret life, but that explains a lot. That's why he always answers the door with a loaded pistol. Yeah, I'll definitely get that notice to appear to him ASAP.
Well, the bad roommate is actually Baseweight's question. He's just on his way out too, so I wanted to bump it up. Baseweight wants to know what it was like to live with Harvey Weinstein, and why didn't you just take the money?
Well, he's definitely a nuisance. We've since gotten rid of him. Had to call, you know, pest control, just sprayed some gas and he left. It was some gas that basically gave the person inhaling it immediate erectile dysfunction. He wanted nothing to do with it. So he jumped off the balcony and went immediately to prison. And why didn't I take the money? Oh, I did. I got it right here, actually. Took it all from his collar. So the big old stack of Harvey Weinstein got that dirty blood money. It's fake, by the way. This is real.
No wonder it's only 50 cents. The $1 bill is real.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, I mean, you can do 50 cents on Patreon for crazy stuff when you've got stacks like that.
Exactly. Doesn't matter where the money came from. It all spends the same.
And speaking of money, Internet Unwind wants to know, what's the most money that you've spent on a single video?
I gotta think about this one. I would say probably the ramen video. Just because I had to buy a bunch of ramen. that's
how much ramen did you buy?
I bought a lot. And the thing is, I don't eat ramen, but like I had a lot of plans for like to use all this ramen. So I bought like cases of ramen, right? And I ended up like throwing most of it away when I moved, but I wanted to do a bunch of stuff with like just a bunch of ramen. I don't remember how much I spent, but I definitely bought a lot of ramen. And if you buy it by the packs, like the cases, it does get expensive for that.
What was the plan? Were you going to bathe in the ramen? Are you going to dump like a bucket of ramen on your head or what?
Well, I wanted to.
All this ramen for?
I wanted to fix my car with ramen because it was for that. I don't know if you remember like when people were fixing things with ramen noodles, like, you know, like you get like the people with like a chair with a hole
like
in
furniture
it.
And stuff.
What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, they would put like super
glue
like and
furniture.
Sand it.
I saw a bunch of those.
Yeah. So I have a little bit of a damage on my car from when a homeless person had hit my car with something. So I have just some damage that I wanted to fix it with ramen. But in the video, I ended up not doing that. I just ended up like taping ramen to it. And it was a really half-assed bit. So yeah, ramen. Top ramen.
And did we get an actual dollar amount on the total on that?
Oh, I don't remember. That was forever ago.
We get an estimate.
I'm sure there are other times where I've spent a lot of money. That's just like the thing that's coming to my mind. Because the thing is, like, if I do spend money on a video, it's like just for like very like props and, you know, just like things I need. Like I have like fake guns, fake knives, that money. I have a closet in my office. It's like I can't even walk in there because there's just so much shit. It's just like, there's like alien heads in like a trunk filled with costumes, and it's a lot of stuff, man. It's a lot of crap that I'll literally use for a video and then never use again.
It's all going to be evidence at a trial one day, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. I feel like if somebody were to search this office, they'd just be like if I ever like died in like a freak accident and they like had to come and like look at my belongings to figure out what's going on, I feel like they would probably not like understand. Because I remember when I had that mannequin at my old apartment, the mannequin was like, it was in front of the window. And one day I had opened the blinds to like open my window. And directly across was my neighbor who had their blinds open. It was this like old woman. She looked across and she just saw me standing there with a naked mannequin. And I imagine like just that scene of making eye contact. I'm standing next to a naked mannequin. I feel like that it would definitely drive some questions. God, I don't even know where I was going with that.
We're actually getting a late one from James, who we mentioned earlier, has popped in finally.
Oh, cool.
And he wanted to know if Oni did a voice in one of your videos. Is he recalling that right?
No, I wish.
Chris O'Neill.
I'm a huge Oni fan.
He's making it up. He's fibbing.
Oh, who's Captain Dickhead?
James has fibbed.
That's what I want to know. Who's Captain Dickhead?
I was hoping you know. And, Kudo says TTS voice.
Oh.
Yeah, when I saw the Captain Dickhead thing, I thought, I thought I'd seen all your videos, but maybe there's one I missed. I hope he knows what this is.
Yeah, I definitely have not had Oni NG do any voices for my videos. I fucking wish. God, that'd be amazing. But no. Sorry,
we
James,
spam
for letting
Twitter
me down.
And make it happen.
It was just Captain Dickhead.
Well, when he does, it's going to have to be Captain Dickhead, isn't it?
Right.
Lars from the first podcast, which it's a great podcast.
Great podcast.
Kevin and I were on some time ago.
Uh-oh.
You were on pretty recently.
Yeah.
Was that about a month ago? Does that sound right? July?
I think so. I went on there like twice within like a couple weeks span. One without Jay Aubrey.
You're on with Jay Aubrey.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, he actually had two questions.
Oh.
The first one is, does Doplex have any potential new podcast projects to talk about?
Oh.
And his second question, which he actually didn't type it, but I assume he's asking it. Why is the Create Unknown so much better than the first podcast?
Which one would you like me to answer first? That's a real question.
You can skip the second one.
Oh, okay. Right.
You can just stick to the first question, I suppose.
Right. Well, I don't know if Lars wants me to talk about it or not. I don't know if I can, but we're in talks of.
He asked the question.
Oh, yeah.
We can cut anything out.
Oh,
by the way.
Okay, cool.
So if you regret your answer, either of you,
right?
The masses won't hear.
Okay, great.
He says, "Sure, go for it." In the chat,
sweet,
by the way.
Beautiful. Yeah, actually, I'm gonna be him and I are gonna be talking tomorrow about possibly doing a little bit of a co-hosting thing for the first podcast. So that'll be cool. Be awesome, because I know
that seems like a pretty good fit.
Yeah, I mean, I love the first podcast. You know, it's a great podcast. You know, just as good as TCU. Lars, don't want to you know make anyone upset here. Don't want to burn any bridges. You know, so I love my boys in the Create Unknown, and I love you. So I don't want to cross any wires, cross any streams. You know, we're all pissing out of our dicks, and I don't want any of the streams to cross. They all go straight into the trough.
We'll put both. Actually, are both of those episodes out now? I know one of them is.
They should be out.
Okay.
Oh yeah, no, they are out. Yeah.
Lars says yes. Yeah. So yeah, we can pop both of those links in the description then as well, so that if you didn't get enough Doplex right now, you can go there and get more. You can get a lot more Doplex, and potentially in the future, regular Doplex.
Ooh.
Episode after episode. Mm. That sounds like a possibility for us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It also sounds like some sort of like digestive aid, like stay regular with Doplex.
Yeah. I was actually going to say,
where did that name come from, by the way?
Doplex? Where did that come from?
Yeah.
It's kind of a dumb story, but pretty much, so like my channel used to be, it was a two-parter, right? So there are two of us. It was me and my buddy Raph. We started the channel together, and we made like really stupid like sketch comedy videos. His idea was like, let's think of something that means two. So like duplex, right? But it's dope. It was like the stupidest fucking thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. We'll go with that. So it just kind of like, I just kind of kept it because I'm like, it kind of sounds cool. Like, you know, outside of that context, it sounds kind of cool. But like, once you hear it, it's like, oh, that's lame. But yeah, just I took too long to like think of a new name. I'm just like, I'm just gonna go Doplex. I'm just gonna drop the TV and just keep Doplex. So that's how that happened.
It's a solid name.
Oh, well, thank you.
I like it. Like it's short, it's unique, but it's unique and easy to spell. And that's a pretty hard combo. Like you can come up with anything that sounds quirky and cool.
Right.
But making sure everybody can spell it is not easy.
Yeah. But
so it's
pronouncing.
There's a fair bit of genius baked into that.
Pronouncing it is a whole nother ball game. Let me tell you, a lot of people, especially like British people, say
what
Doplex.
What pronunciations do you get?
I get a lot of Doplex.
Really?
Yeah. Doplex.
What similar word would you pronounce that way, though? Like that's what I can't understand is what leads you to look at that and think Doplex is a possibility.
Yeah. I've always wondered that too.
Doppler.
Maybe Doppler.
That's what Lars says, Doppler.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, again, that's two P's.
Yeah, two P's, yeah.
The P is the difference.
Right.
You got two P's, I'll go with DOP. One P, that's dope.
That's dope.
Seems like a simple rule to live by.
Supplex, would you? Like nobody...
Supplex.
Like everybody knows duplex and suplex.
Right.
And that whatever vowel is coming before the P here is going to be long. Like that has to be obvious. I'm blown away that somebody could look at this and say... Oh, I like that. Doplex's videos.
Yeah.
That's how they talk.
I mean, you'd be surprised how often it happens. Like it happens so often to now, like whenever I'm like interacting with somebody for the first time, we're like, you know, if I'm like hopping into like a live stream, just like in chat, my first instinct is like, how are they going to pronounce it? Are they going to say Doplex or are they going to be smart and say Doplex? 9 out of 10 times they always say Doplex and I don't get it. Like I don't understand how you.
Wow.
It's weird. Maybe I should just add an H in there. So it's like a Homer Simpson Doe or Doe Jangles. Just add an E.
There you go.
Yeah, then it would be clear.
Yeah.
Dadplex, Internet and One says. I like Dadplex.
I do like Dadplex. You know,
if you hit a point where you had a miniplex, it would be legitimate to change your name to Dadplex at that point.
That's true. And I would pass off the torch if I ever have a little boy or girl. You are Doplex now. I'm now Dadplex. It's how it goes in this household. Maybe I'll do that with my dog. I'll give my dog the moniker, the handle.
Dogplex.
Well, why can't your dog be Dogplex?
Oh,
exactly.
Dude. Yeah. I like that. All right. Okay. We're going with that. He is now Dogplex. I feel like I should bring him on more. I don't even know where he is. He's out there. All right.
Well, that wraps up our questions.
Awesome.
Kevin, did you have another one or what?
I do. I have one final important question that we always have to ask all of our guests. It's very, very serious. It's very, very personal.
I know
it's
coming.
Something that, you know, I think that you might be afraid to share, but, you know, we're all about breaking boundaries here at
The
Create Unknown. So
you're,
you know,
safe
without
here.
Further,
this is a safe space,
right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's just us and our patrons and all of our listeners. And, the question is, Doplex, what is your fursona?
My fursona. Well, I thought about this for a long time and I would definitely be a ferret with a turtle shell.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And
wow.
Flippers.
This is good.
So
are the flippers like feet flippers or like little like side flippers?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say feet flippers just so I can.
Or are they all flippers?
Oh yeah. All flippers. All of my, my hands, my legs, everything is just flippers. So I'm just this, abomination. I like that second image. That's, I could see myself being that with a turtle shell.
And what function does the shell have? I mean, of all the things that could combine with a ferret, how do you land on a shell?
It's bulletproof. So that way, if I ever get caught slipping and somebody tries to shoot me, I have a protective force field, essentially, around my body and all my important organs. I'm thinking tactically here.
Yeah, tactical flippers.
Yeah, tactical flippers in a tortoise shell.
Do you have an offense, by the way? Because the shell is defense, but what's your...
My offense.
How do you fight back?
Probably something simple, like just a pistol, you know? just a pistol. Just always, it's always concealed.
So just a ferret with...
Yeah, just a ferret with a gun and a turtle shell.
In the shell, then.
Yeah. Is that good?
With flippers.
Do you guys rate Fursonas? Like, how would you rate mine?
That's good.
It's good? Okay, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, it's about as different as we've heard to awesome. Date. So I like it. I like it very much.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Isaac, who's resident furry expert, says high on the scale.
Oh.
And I would agree. In terms of uniqueness and originality, like combining the couple animals like that is next level.
Yeah.
So
well, thank you.
You get serious points on that.
Only missing a color scheme.
Color scheme.
Oh.
Isaac says, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I do like the
I didn't think about fur color.
I like the turquoise, the purples, you know, the pinks. I'm a big fan of those. I'd say like a nice like baby blue turtle shell. My fur is like maybe a nice like ombre with like you know, maybe a little bit of a couple streaks of like pink in there, you know? And my gun is like diamond blue. So I spent a lot of money on this thing. On that blicky. How's that, Isaac? Yeah, like Minecraft good. Diamond
that's
blue.
That's got to be exactly. 10 out of 10.
Read my mind.
I didn't even know ombre
it's
was
been
a color.
Perfect, 10 out of 10.
I thought that was just like a friend in Spanish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's ombre. That's
isn't that the
homber.
Fade? Isn't that the fade between
ombre?
Ombre is the fade. Is that how you describe
yeah.
it? Like the fade on colors?
It's kind of like a gradient, you know? It's like where it goes from
yeah,
like great. Like
that's
red
it.
To brown.
That's good.
It's like a nice little soft change.
Yeah. I like it.
I like it.
Yeah. I like it very much.
It's very satisfying.
And now my life goal is to make that a reality, you know? Maybe I don't know how far science is. I don't know if they could transport my brain into a ferret and then surgically install a tortoiseshell. That'd be cool.
Probably.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Just have faith.
Yeah.
It sounds easy to
right.
me.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, now that we have your fursona, I would love to thank you for joining us, Doplex. Thank you to all of our patrons for hanging out with us this whole time. If you want to hang out with us during every single conversation we have here on The Create Unknown, then just become a patron at patreon.com/TheCreateUnknown. Become a $2 tot like Internet Unwind, our latest $2 tot. Shout
Ooh.
Out to him. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And
thank you,
always
Jake.
Remember, and what was that?
Hmm?
Oh, I said thank you, Jake, to Internet Unwind.
Thank you, Jake.
Thank
yeah.
you, Jake.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for yeah. supporting the show and hanging out with us. Always remember to make something. Always remember that that will help you mean something. And until next time, we will see you, Space Cowboys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.